Thanks, Lydia, very much for reading that for us. And actually, you really will. If you don't have a Bible open in front of you, try and grab one, because you will need to. We'll be going through this passage in detail, working out what's going on. And I don't know how much you followed that reading, but we'll step through it. Let me pray again as we come to this word. Father, we thank you so much that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so we pray that as we come to this word, we might hear your voice. You might help us to believe what Jesus is saying about us by your Spirit, and you'll help us to respond in repentance and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we are, as you see, we're back in John's Gospel for a couple of weeks. Then we're going to be... we've got Easter weekend. After that, we're going to have a series looking at God Meant It for Good, looking at the life of Joseph, and we'll be back to John's Gospel in the summer, so you know where we are. But as I've been looking at this passage this week, it's been absolutely electric. My jaws got lower and lower as I thought, I can't believe, Jesus, that you are actually saying this. Now, I don't know if you've got a sense of that as we're reading it, because actually it just seems to go round in circles and you're reading it, and on first reading you kind of miss some of the punch of it. But in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 18, we won't flick to it, but there's a whole bunch of Pharisees and leaders by that point who are plotting to kill Jesus. And this bit of narrative, this bit of interaction we're reading now, it's sort of based around the temple. Jesus has been around in Jerusalem for a few days. He's been teaching and engaging with people. And there's a bunch of people who want him dead because they are cheesed off with him. But have a look at chapter 8, verse 31. Chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed. Okay, so at this point, Jesus is turning to some Jews who are actually believing in him. They're actually believing. They're not there wanting to kill him. They look like they're on the path to believing in Jesus. And yet, what are we told at the end of this passage? Verse 59. At this, these believers picked up stones to stone him. Okay, by the end of this passage, they're not just plotting to kill Jesus. They are literally picking up stones and are ready to kill him there and then. What does Jesus say in the space of 28 verses to turn these believers into haters? I mean, surely, don't you think, Jesus, come on, surely you must be desperate for people to follow you. Aren't you a little bit desperate, Jesus? You know, there's some people showing some interest. Oh, good, good, I'll say anything you want. Please stay around. Oh, no. That is not Jesus Christ. See, what he says here, it's not what your common man would expect Jesus to say or be like. And I think as Christians, sometimes we can take the edge off who Jesus actually is, and we need to hear him for him for ourselves. And I think he's a reminder that Jesus really is someone you don't mess with. What we're going to see as we go through this is Jesus actually being quite loving. Grace and I, because our family live all over the country, not all over the country, they live really far north. Right? Grace's parents, my wife's parents, they live in Newcastle. My parents live in Edinburgh. We do a lot of miles in the car. And we often find ourselves in the car driving, and Grace will ask me this question. She says, Andy, is the airbag on? Okay? Our car is one of those cars that if you put children of a certain age in the front seat, you have to switch the airbag off because it's something like 7 years old, something like that. If you had an accident and the airbag went off, they're too little to be able to take it. After that, it's fine. And so often we're turning the airbag on and off. And the question is the airbag on? Why do you need to know if the airbag is on? Because you could drive feeling like the airbag is on, but if the tire blows up and you are careering at 70 miles an hour into the side barrier, off the thing, into a tree. At that point, the point of impact with the tree, you need to know the airbag is on, because it could save your life. So that question, is the airbag on, Andy? And we look down and we think, oh, we need to pull over and do the key thing to kind of make it switch it on. It's a really important question. And Jesus is here talking to some people who think they are believers. They think actually on the day of judgment, which we will all face when we meet God and he separates people into heaven or hell, you need to know at that point, are you actually a believer? Are you actually safe? Is the airbag on? And so we're shining a light this morning, actually on all our hearts. What does it mean to believe? Just have a look at what Jesus says. There's two things, right? There's two things Jesus is going to highlight for us. First, he's going to highlight something about who we are, who these people are, that they need to understand. And then he's going to highlight something about who he is. Okay, those are the two things he's going to delve into. And the first thing he says to them is this. It's going to come up on the screen. Here we go. What is the problem? They are deceived to who they are. They're actually deceived to who they are. Have a look at verses 31 and 32. Look at what Jesus says here. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Okay, he says, if you hold to my teaching. Now, the verb there is to remain. And for those of you who know a bit about John, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the tree, true vine. He says, whoever remains in my word, or whoever abides in my word abides in them, and I abide in them. It's the same verb. It's the same idea. He said, a true believer is someone who believes Jesus' teaching, who trusts Jesus' teaching, who lives by Jesus' teaching, who believes in Jesus and perseveres in that. Okay, that's what Jesus says here. And then he says, verse 32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So in other words, the implication is, if you do not believe what Jesus teaches about himself, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you don't believe and trust in him, then you are not actually free, you're a slave. Now, it's quite a strong thing to say, isn't it? You know, you just think about you going through your day to day, you think about the postman. Who's your postman who posts your letters through the door? Who's the teacher that you drop maybe your kids off to at school, or the university lecturer who you sit down and you fall asleep in their lecture, or maybe your neighbor who's absolutely lovely, who takes the parcels for you? If they do not follow Jesus, they are not free. They are a slave. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's going to get worse. It's going to expand. Now, does that get your hackles up? It's true of you and me. Does that get your hackles up? It probably should do. And so what do we need to grasp, okay? There's two aspects of them being deceived to their true situation. One is that they need to understand that they are slaves to sin. You're a slave to sin. Have a look at verses 34 and 35 and 36. Look at verse 33 first. What do they say? He says, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. They say, verse 33, we're sons of Abraham. We had many sons, our sons of Abraham. We are one of them. And look what he says, we are Abraham's descendants, and they have been slaves of, we've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we can be set free? You know, we're children of Abraham. We sing the song, we do the actions. How can you say we need to be set free? See, these are God's people. They are physical descendants of Abraham. And to understand that, as they say we are children of Abraham, we are sons of Abraham, the implications for them is that means they are children of God. Okay, that's what they mean by that. If we're a child of Abraham, we're physically descended from Abraham. He's our great, 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 great grandfather. Then we, if we're physically descended from him, then that also means we are automatically children of God. We are not slaves of anyone. And let's be clear what they mean by that. They have been slaves in their history. If you know it, there were slaves in Egypt. There were slaves in Babylon. They were carted off there. What they are saying here is, spiritually speaking, we are free. In the words of Rabbi Akiba, he says, "We are all Israelites are kings and sons. We are children of God. How dare you say we are not free?" I wonder, actually, if we to put the microphone out into Norwich, they may not say we are descendants of Abraham, but they would say, "How dare you say we're a slave? Do you not know I'm British or I'm from Norfolk? Of course I'm free. I'm a pretty good person. Of course I'm free." And Jesus says, the verse 34. Now, actually, let me tell you, this is how you know whether you're free or not. Do you sin? Look what he says in verse 34. "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. You know, have you ever done anything wrong, right? Then that is your master. You're a slave to sin. Don Carson, he's a Canadian theologian, lecturer, Bible teacher. He put it like this. He said, "Ultimate bondage is not enslavement to a political or economic system, but vicious slavery to moral failure, to rebellion against the God who has made us. The despotic master is not Caesar, but shameful self-centeredness, an evil and enslaving devotion to created things at the expense of worshipping the Creator." In other words, he says, the biggest problem humanity has is not politicians. It's not that they do not have enough money. The biggest problem we all have is our sin. Our enslavement to it. See, Jesus here is saying, do you sin even a little bit? Then that is your biggest problem. But how does that manifest itself? What does that mean for them? Well, he says, you're not just a slave to sin. He also says, you've got a different dad than you think you have. So you've got a different dad than you think you have. Look what he says in verse 35. "Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." And in other words, he's saying, in terms of God's family, okay, a slave in their days, they could be sold from the family, they could be removed at any point. He says, actually, you think you're a part of God's family. If you're a slave to sin, then you're a slave and you have no permanent part of the family. Verse 37. "I know you are Abraham's descendants. You sing the song, you do the actions. Yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for me and my word. I'm telling you that I've seen what I've seen in my father's presence, and you are doing what you have seen in your father's presence." He says, you want to get rid of me, even though you seem to be believers, because of what I'm saying to you. But actually, what you believe in your heart means you are just like your dad. I know who your dad is. Verse 39, look at it. They say, no, we know who our dad is. Abraham's our father. Our kids sing the song. We do the actions. And look at what he says to them. Verse 39, "If you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did." You see, what did Abraham do? When he heard the word of God, he believed it. He trusted it. He obeyed it. And they are hearing the word of God through God the Son. Will they obey it? Will they believe it? Will they trust it? Well, verse 40, look at it. "As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I have heard from God, Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." Now, you could think, hey, Jesus, are you being a bit paranoid? Are they really trying to kill you, you know? Are they really that bothered? You know, they seem to believe in you, Jesus. He said, no, just look at your hearts. You don't like what I'm saying. He's insinuating that these really are, that they do not belong to the Father they think they do. D.A. Carson, in his commentary, he puts it like this. He's saying to them, they are spiritual bastards. Have a look at verse 41. Look how they respond. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. And Jesus here, I mean, he's not being mean to them, right? Jesus is not being mean to them. He's trying to show them the genuine situation they are in. He's putting a mirror up. He's saying, look, we just need to check the airbag is on. You think you're okay, but your heart show that you're not. Look what he says in 42 and 43. He says to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. He says the issue here is not with the clarity of what Jesus is saying. He's being absolutely clear. The issue is with them and their hearts, and they're unable to hear what he says. It's so much deeper than they realize. Now, if it's your first time here at church, it's really lovely to have you. And if you've never heard about Jesus before, earlier in John's gospel, Jesus does things that only God can do. He turns water into wine. He walks on water. He makes a meal for 5,000 people, more than that, out of a little boy's packed lunch. He rises from the dead. He splits human history in two. He is God come down. He is clearly the Son of God who has come from God. And the next thing he says to them is brutal. I don't know if you've ever watched the program Jeremy Kyle. Not if you've heard of Jeremy Kyle. Maybe you haven't. Okay, some people have, some students have. It's been taken off air, which is a good thing. But Jeremy Kyle, he often gets people from quite dysfunctional families up and just watches stuff explode on stage. And sometimes they'll get a parent with a child and they'll do a thing saying, is this actually your child? They do a DNA test. And they bring out the envelope. And they find out there. I mean, it's good it's been pulled from TV because it is horrible TV. But Jesus does the Jeremy Kyle DNA thing. And he gets the envelope. And he opens it. And he says, look, I'm going to tell you who your dad is. Verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil. Says, you think your spiritual dad is God in heaven? No, it's not. It is Satan. Wow. Just imagine it. They sing the song. Father Abraham had many sons. They walk around going, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Because I'm from Abraham's line, I'm a child of God. And Jesus says, no. Look into your hearts. Being physically descended from Abraham does not make you a child of God. The thing that makes you a child of God, that doesn't. Look it in your heart and it tells you who your dad really is. Your dad, spiritually speaking, is the devil. What do we learn about the devil? Have a look in from verse 44. The devil who you want to carry out your father's desires. What does their spiritual father desire? He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And look, I just want to say, if you're new to Christian things, Christianity, Jesus, we do believe in a source of evil in the world. We need a personal Satan who hates mankind. And why do we believe this? Yes, you see moments of supercharged evil in the world. But we believe it because Jesus tells us he is real. And he is a murderer. And do you know the way he murders? Through telling us lies. And it started with the very first lie in Genesis, where he said to Adam and Eve, there is Adam, and he was told by God, eat the fruit of the tree and you will die. And what is the first thing Satan says to him and Eve? You will not die. He takes the truth, he turns it around because he hates humanity. He wants us to believe lies. And so if you have a look, he says, actually, you're just like your father. But you don't believe the truth when you see it. Have a look at it. Verse 45, he says this, yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. He sees it's causal. He says, I'm actually telling you the truth. If I told you lies, you would believe me, because that's what your spiritual father wants. But actually, I am telling you the truth about who I am, and you don't believe me. Now again, why is Jesus going so hard? Because they're in a car and the wheel is blown and they're heading for the tree of judgment and they are not ready. And I guess the question is, who do you think your spiritual dad is? There's the problem. Who are they? They're deceived. They're slaves to sin. Their father is Satan. But there's another thing we need to hear, and that is who Jesus is. Okay, who Jesus is. That's the second thing. You see, they actually, let's have the point up. They don't like who Jesus is. I think it's a really important thing to grasp. Okay, there we go. Look what he says in verse 47. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God. And look at verse 48. This is what they do. What they do at this point is they go full school playground. Listen to what they do. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? So Jesus there saying, look, you need to understand who you are, actually. If you're rejecting me and rejecting my word, then actually God is not your dad. And they say, no, God's not your dad. You're the one spiritually possessed. It is the playground thing where someone goes, you smell. No, and you go, no, you smell even worse. They flip it on him. They say, you're not true Jew. You're not demon. I mean, it's all nonsense. 49 to 51, he says, no, I'm not possessed by a demon. Look at verse 49, but I honor my father and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you the truth, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. But he says, look, this isn't about, God will honor me. It's what I'm telling you is absolutely true. You're the one who's deceived. And look what then they say, verse 52. They say, now we know you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever believes my word will never taste death. They say, look, you say, if we obey your word, you will never taste death. Well, what about the prophets? What about Abraham? He believed God, and he died. The prophets, they believed God, and they died. And you're saying, if we believe your word, we will not die? You are definitely mad. Are you greater than Abraham? He died. Like, are you really telling the truth? And there's a whole host of answers Jesus could give at this point. And look what he says, verse 54. I glorify myself. My glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who will glorify me. He said, God's got me covered. He will show who I truly am. But listen to this, verse 55. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And remember, Abraham is 2,000 years ago. And he said, look, Abraham looked to my day, and he was looking forward to it. He was rejoicing in its coming. Verse 57, he says this. They say this, but you're not 50 years old. That's 2,000 years ago. Have you seen Abraham? And this is where Jesus pushes the nuclear button, right? Look at what he says, verse 58. Very truly, he says, literally, I tell you the truth. He's been saying it over and over again. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Listen to what he says. Before Abraham was born, I am. Now, he's not just saying, before Abraham was in his mummy's tummy, I was there. In using this term, I am, it's ego eimi, ego eimi. The Greek word, it's taken from a phrase that is used in Isaiah a lot, where God says, yes, from the Ancient of Days, I am he. I am he. It is a name you see over and over in the Old Testament for God. Jesus is saying to them, let's be clear, he's saying to them, before Abraham was born, I'm God. I've always been there. It's me. I'm not just from the Father. I am one with the Father. He is God come down. And the believers turn into haters. And they pick up stones. And they want to murder him. Now look, we've kind of navigated through the arguments and we've got to this point, but we've got to be absolutely clear as we've built to this moment. It is so significant. You see, I think you could misunderstand what is happening in verse 59. I think you could say, do you know what? They've been really offended by Jesus and they've just had enough and he's called them children of Satan and saying, you don't really know God, and they're just so offended they're going to kill him. I don't think that's what's happening here. I don't even think it is blasphemy. So in the Old Testament, if someone claimed to be equal with God, claimed to be God or take God's name in the wrong way, they would commit blasphemy and actually they'd be worthy of being killed. And I don't think they are going, this is blasphemy, we are going to kill you. No, this what we're seeing here is even more fundamental. In the words of 90s singer Cyndi Lauper, we'll see your true colors shining through. See, what we're seeing here, what Jesus is exposing to them, is deep down who they really are. See, what I think we are seeing here is that they actually know, they hear that the mirror's been going all the way through. Do you see who you are? Do you see who you are? Do you see who I am? Do you see who I am? And I think this is what's happening. I think they see that Jesus is their maker. He actually is God, and that is why they want to murder him. He's actually showing to them, I've told you your dad's Satan and he is a murderer, and let me show you that is exactly you. And when they pick up those stones, they are not just picking the stones up to kill someone they think is just a man. They are picking up the stones to kill someone they know is their God. And that really is the heart of sin. That is the problem that we all face. When Adam went to pick the fruit from the tree, he wasn't just saying, I want to disobey God. He was saying, no, I want to replace God. I really do not want God in my life. And as you think about the sins you do and why you do it, you know, the lie you tell, or the moment you are really greedy, or the moment you talk about someone behind their back and assassinate their character, or the moment you look at someone on the internet you just know you shouldn't be looking at, when you say, why do I do that? And why do I do that? And why do I do that? As you peel away the layers, actually we get to the base layer. And what is the base layer? Is I do not want God in my life, and I want to run things my way, and I don't want to be accountable to him, and I want him dead. You see, deep down, this is, they picked up the stones, but deep down in our hearts, if we had been there and Pilate was saying, should we crucify this man, we would have been joining in saying, crucify him. See, how do you know if you're a child of God heading for glory or a child of Satan heading for judgment? It is not whether you feel like that to God. We all do. It's whether you've been willing to say, do you know what, Jesus? You're right. That is me. That is my heart. I really don't want you in my life, and I need you to save me from that. You see, he is not just God come down. But you notice he is God come down to free us from slavery, to bring us to the dad we need. Look how he describes it back in verses 34 and 35. In fact, verse 35, look at it. He says, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Who is the son who belongs to God's family forever? It is only one. It is Jesus. And what is the son who belongs to the family forever? What is he able to do? Verse 36, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. See, what is the truth Jesus needs us to know? We are by nature children of wrath, and we need his grace to be saved, to be children of the living God. And the thing that makes the difference is how we believe and respond to Jesus Christ. See, he's come to set you free from the lies of Satan. The lies of Satan that says to you, God is not good, he doesn't love you, his commands are enslaving, hell is not real. The lies that say, do you know what? I don't need to sort this out today. I can sort this out another day. Jesus came to free you from those lies so you can know God as your heavenly Father and be set free from the punishment we deserve. Is your airbag on? Is he your confidence and hope? Have you ever turned to him? Christian person, what is Jesus saying to you? If you've come to him, you are free. Christian person, hold on to Christ. Hold on to him. I was chatting with someone in the break, and they just said to me, the thing that's remarkable about this is it's Romans. If you studied Romans with us, it's Romans. I mean, it's just a small point to make. But actually, you think, oh, Paul, he's off and on about a load of other stuff. And then there's Jesus. But Jesus is, you know, it's all one. It's all one. Christian person, hold on to the word of Christ in all of Scripture. And if you are not a Christian, are you willing to admit who you really are? Are you willing to come to the Son who will set you free? I was just thinking of a mate of mine. I was at uni with him, and he was on my course, actually, and he professed faith in Christ, and he then came along to church, and he came on to Christian Union, and went on weekends away, and he was there, he was in it, and then when he left university, it all stopped. And he is now nowhere spiritually. And as I look back, what was the issue there? The issue was this. He loved the Christian community, but he never actually loved Christ. Do you love Christ? Is the airbag on? I'm just going to give you some moments to respond. In your heart, in prayer, to whatever the Lord may be laying on your heart. And then we are going to respond and we're going to sing a song, Who Am I, about the freedom and the delivery that Christ brings for us if we trust Christ. So just give you some moments to respond to the Lord in your heart.